Travel presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with singer-songwriter Maia Sharp. In our conversation, Maia talks about her current tour, which started in LA, where she grew up. Maia talks about her musical journey, starting on oboe, moving to sax, and studying at Cal State Northridge, and eventually playing all over the greater LA area. Maia describes how she began playing guitar as a songwriter after she grew frustrated with piano, and she talks about her guitar, a Gibson L00, equipped with the LR bag system. Maia talks about how a song that she wrote ended up with Cher, and how that led to her record deals, and how she ended up being her own manager, and she discusses her production work with other artists as well as herself. And Maia shares some of her anxieties of traveling as a solo artist, particularly when flying. Maia talks a little bit about her father, who has written a lot of notable songs for a lot of notable artists. And finally, Maia tells us about her work as an adjunct professor at NYU. To find out more about Maia, you can go to her website, maiasharp.com. That's M-A-I-A-S-H-A-R-P.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's my friend Maia.
Hi, Maia. How are you?
Hello there.
Where are you based right now?
I'm based in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
I'm from LA, so I started the tour here in LA at Hotel Cafe.
Oh, okay. Friday. Great.
And I'm still in LA. Getting ready to head up north, actually.
Yeah, I know. You're going to play the Washoe House. Washoe.
First time playing. Have you been there?
I pass it on a regular basis.
Okay.
And yes, I have been there. It's an odd place. It's an odd place to be playing. I mean, only in that they mostly have locals play there.
I know. And there's a friend of mine there, Teresa Peter, we did a house concert together years ago, and it was just so cool. And like, she just totally took care of it. And she's trying to kind of change the color of the space. Like,
sure.
It's on her now to find the acts. And so she's trying to kind of get a couple more national acts through. So I might be a guinea pig a little bit, but I like her a lot, and I know that she's going to work her ass off make it a good experience. And so, you know, it was literally on the way to my Saturday gig in Sacramento. So like, why not? Right.
Exactly. And you're on the edge of wine country. I don't know if you drink wine, but
I mean, I do. Yeah. I'm fighting a little bit of, congestion now, but so wine, I don't know, maybe by then it'll be better.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned you lived in LA. What part of LA were you living in?
We moved down there when I was five from Central California, and we moved down to the San Fernando Valley. So my early years were in the Valley.
Okay.
And then I moved to like Wilshire and Fairfax.
Oh, wow.
Area.
Yeah.
But, you know, so my first life was as a saxophone player. I thought I was going to be a saxophone player.
Wow.
I went to school for that.
Where at?
And I mentioned that because I went to Cal State University Northridge.
Yeah.
I was a music major there.
Yeah, of course.
And I mentioned that because as a saxophone player working in LA, it had me driving all over creation.
Sure.
So even though I grew up in the Valley and I lived in the Miracle Mile, I've had to go to every corner of Los Angeles for the wedding or the bar mitzvah or the horn section gig or whatever, you know?
So, sure.
Yeah.
And did you play with anybody notable when you were playing sax?
I mean, I think so at the time. This is a long time ago. This really does feel like a previous life. I started, even like halfway through college, I started writing songs, and I fell hard for that.
Uh-huh.
And I played sax, and I taught sax, clarinet, and flute just to kind of pay a couple bills. But once the writing and the artist pursuit looked like it could really be a thing, I definitely focused on that. So, and the sax is still there. You know, I still play on maybe every other album. I have two saxophone solos on the new album.
Yeah.
But it's not the primary anymore.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I heard on the album, I heard the horn section, which was a treat. I mean, a lot of people don't, especially, you know, singer songwriter, don't put horns on their records. And it was a treat to hear it.
Man, horns are the coolest thing. Like, what happened? And also, like, when I started playing in the late 80s, early 90s, like horns, saxophones were everywhere, right? Oh, sure. You remember, like, we can all sing the sax solo to the George Michael song or the Sade song. Like, we, those, you know, Sheila E. has one too. Like, they're just classic saxophone solos. And then for some reason, I don't know if that just got overused or something, and then people stopped having it.
I blame it on David Sanborn.
Well... Yeah, he did. But he wasn't like in the mainstream. But I guess everybody kind of knows who he is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when did you start playing guitar?
So when I started writing songs, I started writing on piano.
Okay.
And then I hit a place where I felt like I was kind of going to the same place every time, and picked up a guitar. And I remember the guitar being really frustrating. That mind shift from how you think about a keyboard to how you think about a guitar really messed with me. And I tell people that now, like when they're like, man, I've tried to play and it's so difficult. Like, no, hang in there. It isn't on a gradient. It doesn't slowly feel better. It's frustrating as hell. And then one day you're like, oh my God, this is fun. And my hands work. It's almost like your muscles have to catch up with your brain. And once that sinks, it is a blast. I mean, guitar, I barely play. I mean, I play some keyboard on the albums, but guitar is my jam now. I love it.
Yeah.
And that's probably been 20 years of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And what kind of guitars do you have?
Well, I'm traveling with my Gibson Parlor, the 00.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to reach over and show you, but it's audio, so nobody.
That's okay. It's an L00.
It's not going to matter. Yeah, and the Parlor, yeah. And so it's a little smaller.
Yes.
Plays so easily, and it's lighter for travel.
Yep.
And it gives, you know, I run it through the Bags interface, and the preamp, I have an interface right here in front of me for something else. I run it through the Bags preamp, and it just sounds huge.
Yeah.
And it's just easier to play.
Sure.
Yeah.
And do you carry your own DI or do you just use that whatever house DI is available?
Well, the Bags kind of replaces that. I feel like it takes care of that. I don't even need a DI box. I'm just like XLR out of the Bags.
Oh, wow.
And then I have all the controls there in front of me if I need it.
Yeah.
And I've been pretty lucky the past few years, especially that the rooms and the sound engineers in those rooms are very tuned to that place and they know their space.
Yeah.
So I really run it flat for most of the time unless a room has a problem. But man, knock on wood, I've had some good luck in the last few years that the rooms I show up and they know, you know, and they know how to handle it.
Yeah, exactly. And when you tour, are you touring just by yourself?
I am. I picked up, one player here in LA, David Carpenter, on upright bass.
Oh, wow.
Just monster. Oh, my God. He's so great. It's just such a smooth player. And also just a, you know, you want a good presence on stage with you, like just a calming, positive guy, you know. But most of the other times, I'm going to be Lena Mee, solo acoustic guitar. I also use... a porch board stomp, so I sound a little bigger than I look on stage. I've got the porch board, you know, like a kick.
Yeah, exactly.
And then an acoustic, and then the only show that's not that way is when I go back to Nashville. When I go back home, I want to blow it out and just full band style.
Yeah, is it easy to pick up musicians in Nashville?
Well, yeah, Nashville, when I lived in L.A., it felt like a picking up. But now in Nashville, it's just like the players that are on the record. Because I've been making records there for 3 albums now. I moved there at the beginning of 19.
Uh-huh.
Here, kind of, you know, counterintuitively, it felt like picking up a musician here in L.A., which is my hometown. But, yeah, I feel really lucky that I have great people in both cities.
Uh-huh. And you play oboe as well?
Oh my God, you're pulling out that.
It's just because it's so the oboe is such a cool instrument.
It really is, I know. That was my very first instrument. And I'm about a year into playing oboe, and it's a beast. I mean, it is really challenging. And then when you start to get to a place where you might be professional mm-hmm. at it, you have to make your own reeds, and it's like it's a life. It's not just like, I'm going to play the oboe. It's like, okay, this is your life now. You know? Yeah. So I distinctly remember looking over at the saxophone section and seeing how much fun they were having. And I was like, you know, the fingerings are really similar and I don't have to make my own reeds. I'm going to try that. And then I fell for that. Yeah.
What was the process from, you know, playing guitar or playing piano, writing songs, and then getting a record deal? How'd you go about that?
So that all started in LA. I was going to my friends from CSUN. I was going to their shows in town and meeting the people that they were playing with and the people that were writing the songs for the bands that they were playing in. Okay. So I'm like 21 or 22 at this uh-huh. point. No, 20, because I was, yeah, oh my God, such a baby. Okay, so I started to go to their shows, and there was one of my friends from college, actually two of them, Joseph Zimmerman and Joshua Siegel, were playing in a band called The Borrowers, and their lead singer and songwriter was a guy named Mark Addison. And I just love the way he wrote. And so Mark and I started to write together. And I didn't have anything going on. I had no publishing deal. I didn't have a label deal. Mark got a publishing deal. And his publisher got a song that we wrote together to share.
Oh, wow.
And so that put me on the map a little bit, where at least I had, you know, kind of something to talk about. And yeah. also, his publisher as well, before Cher said that she wanted to record it, his publisher had pitched it to Miles Copeland for Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, my goodness.
And Miles passed on it for Belinda, or maybe Belinda passed on it. I'm not sure. But he said, you know, I really like the voice on it. I'm interested in talking to her about maybe being an artist. So just that one song, the one write with my friend, opened up the door to eventually sign as an artist and as a writer.
Yeah. That's great. And that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the beginning of, and then, you know, lost that deal, signed again to Concord, lost that deal, signed to Koch, lost that deal, signed to Blix, lost that deal. It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm me. Yeah. You know? I'm putting them out myself.
Oh, right. It's all self-produced and.
Yes, sir.
Are you self-managed as well?
I am. I had a little bit of a Three Bears management experience. I had like the really hard guy that I had to clean up after. Oh. He was my first manager. And then my next managers are great guys, but they were kind of soft and like kind of got walked on. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, I never found that one in the middle that could be firm but likable, you know? And it just kinda, it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about, are you booking all your own gigs as well?
No, I do have a booking agent. Okay. Thank God. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Black Oak.
Okay.
Artists good. Are booking. Yeah. Yeah.
Are they based in Nashville as well?
They're kind of based everywhere. My guy, Craig Grossman he's like outside of Minneapolis.
Oh, wow.
There's somebody in Ohio. There's, Colorado. Yeah, they're kind of all over the place. You don't have to have a headquarters when you're a booking agent. It's all email and phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've been wonderful. That's been such, oh my God, that's just been such a gift to have them. Oh, sure.
And the routing is good for you? It's always...
Yeah. I mean, this is another plus of having done this for so long. Yeah. I know when I look at the routing, I can look and be like, yeah, that ain't happening. Or I'm going to hurt, but it's going to be worth it. Like, I know what's coming when I look at the routing or when I, you know,
yeah.
after show drives or like how early or all that stuff. So, yeah, so far it's been a really good experience with them.
Good. And is it, so it's just you. Are you traveling in a van or are you going to fly up here and then? No.
I go by car whenever I can, if okay. it's even remotely possible, I'm going to stay on the ground because yeah. checking merch.
Oh, and
checking a guitar, man. It's so anxiety. I'm sure you talk. I bet everybody has probably mentioned this. The anxiety of wondering if you're going to have to fight to get your guitar on the plane.
Yeah.
Is like more anxiety than the show.
Oh, for sure.
And, oh, man. So I do all the things. I get the earliest boarding possible. I pay. It's basically just, you know, insurance. Like you just, whatever you get to upgrade to get, make sure you go on early.
Yeah.
You know, act nice. You never swear to them, or you're done. Yeah. Like, yeah. But that's it. When I can stay on the ground, I stay on the ground. Like I'm driving up to Northern California, then I'm driving up to Sisters, Oregon for a festival.
Yeah.
And I'm driving back to San Francisco to fly out.
Okay. All right. And what kind of case is that you have right there?
Oh, the case, it's just the one that came with the double O. It's not, I didn't.
Not a Colton.
No, because I'm not checking it.
Yeah.
I've pulled that before. It wasn't Southwest. It was JetBlue years ago. And I just said, well, I guess you have to pull all our bags. It was a whole band, and they wouldn't let one of our acoustics on. And I was like, well, man, that's really too bad. I guess you have to pull all of our bags because it's not getting checked. We're not checking this. And they ended up like sneakily pre-boarding us.
Oh, wow.
Like it worked out really well. But I really was like ready to die on that hill. Like,
oh, yeah.
No, I'm not handing you this guitar and maybe not getting it back. Yep. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you produce for other people besides yourself?
I have, yeah. There's a duo in Nashville called Sarah and Shannon. I produce for them. I just produced a song on Fancy Haygood, who's a wonderful artist, and he just did a cover of Steel Driver's song Where Rainbows Never Die. And so I produced that and played everything on it except the violin. That was like,
wow.
I said yes so quickly because I love Fancy so much. He's just such a great artist and just human being. Just like I wanted to work with him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
and a friend. And so I said yes. And then I get in it and I'm like, oh my God, this is hard. This song, it has a riff in it that's like, how the hell did they do this 100 times? But I figured I did a new tuning to make it work. It's a tuning I've never used before or since. But that's how to get that riff. I want to talk to the Steel Drivers guy and like, how the hell did you do that?
Exactly.
Here's how I had to do it. Yeah.
Do you have a home studio or is there a studio you like to use?
So the first two records I made in Nashville, Mercy Rising and Reckless Thoughts, were I went to a tracking room and did like, you know, the drum, bass, electric there. This record though, Tomboy, is framed. It's all like framed out at my place.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a couple players over and then remotely got some tracks and then responded to those tracks. But I never went to a tracking room. It was all of that work I did, hours of that, was at home. And it's very home studio. It's a very one person kind of space, like maybe two people kind of space.
That's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
No, I loved it. In fact, being off the clock like that, like I took a lot of walks that I probably would not have if you know, I was paying somebody by the day or by the hour. Like I tried a bunch of pretty crazy stuff that I'm really glad I did.
Yeah, of course. Of course. How many dates do you have on your tour?
Yeah, there's another like 3 or 4 on this West Coast run. Oh, well, I'm playing the Sisters Oregon Festival, so that's 3 dates there.
Oh, wow.
And then a couple on the way up, and then I go back to the Southeast, and then I got the big kind of leave it all on the field show on October 5th at Third and Lindsley in Nashville.
Okay.
That's it's for the Lightning 100 Sunday night thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm all around in the Southeast, and then I got a bunch of dates in the Northeast. And we're still booking. We just booked some good stuff for November. So I'm still rolling. I'm planning on calling this quote unquote the new album for a solid year, you know.
Okay. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Your dad was a musician as well, correct?
Yeah, he still is. Yeah.
Oh, he is.
Still writes.
And what does he play with anybody that anybody would, you know, recognize off the top of their head?
Well, he has, but the ones that I have off the top of my head are people that have recorded his songs.
Okay.
he's had his songs recorded by, are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you sitting down?
No.
Reba McEntire, oh, Emmylou wow. Harris, wow. Dolly Parton, Patti Loveless, wow. Restless Heart, Exile, Willie Nelson and Michael McDonald,
damn.
Kenny Rogers, Linda Ronstadt. No, it's crazy town.
Yeah.
No,
is he based in Nashville too?
Yeah, it's wonderful. And we wrote a song together for the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, wow.
He was in LA, and then they moved up to Central Cal, and then I just encouraged them, I coaxed them out to Nashville, so they live in Nashville now with me.
Oh, right on.
Not with me in my house, but they were all in Nashville.
Yeah. And do you live in Nashville proper, or are you in Madison, or?
East Nashville. Okay. Would you call that Nashville proper?
Yeah.
I think so.
On the other side of the river?
I mean, I'm not like in the downtown. I mean, God, no.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Exactly. It's like our thing. Like, I don't know if I want to cross the river tonight.
I don't blame you.
It's funny.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you. What kind of stuff do you do for fun, like outside of music?
That's a really good question, and it's one that I'm working on a better answer for, because I tend to just circle on back to writing, working on that song, or, sprucing up, the production, or playing with friends, or sitting in. It tends to be pretty musically obsessed, and I want to change that. I'd like to go, when I really need to just, like, not look at a screen and decompress, I take a long hike. I'm right off of Shelby Park,
okay.
So I can take a really long walk. You can walk the Greenway for miles. So yeah. I do that. I know you guys have some good hikes up in Northern California. I might have to find one of those.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, like getting out in the trees. I think that's where I can, and alone, not like, oh, I'll come with you. Like, no, you won't.
What about off days when you're like today, today and
well,
tomorrow and Wednesday.
Yeah, I got to work on this, man. I'm adjunct at NYU.
Okay.
So I teach 6 private students there, private lessons through them.
Music lessons?
Yeah. They are officially songwriting majors.
Okay.
So I'm their private instructor for the semester. So I have a bunch of NYU sessions this morning.
Oh, wow. What about, so do you teach, are you teaching songwriting outside of NYU?
Not so much. Every now and then a workshop will show up. Like there's a workshop at the Sisters Organ thing.
Okay.
The Sisters Organ Festival is my first time up there, but I know that one of our days is going to be a workshop.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, like if it's kind of part of the package, I always enjoy it, but I don't go looking for that. There's enough to do back in town, and there's already not enough time to take those walks.
Oh yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah.
Well, it's been wonderful speaking with you. I really appreciate your time, and I'm glad it worked out.
Yes, I am too. Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun to speak to you too.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. Have a great show in at the WashU House.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm playing in Napa that same night.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, dang.
Which is rare, but.
Okay, well, you asked me, so you probably have a lot of guitars, right? I'm going to imagine that you have a lot. Is there a primary one? Is there one that's like the one that you always reach for?
Yeah, so I have a Gibson J180, which is like a J200, so big-bodied guitar, but this one's a little bit smaller. I think it's the one Emmylou Harris plays.
Okay.
And, she plays something similar in body size anyway. And
nice.
that's the one I go for, and mostly because it's beat to hell, and it's like a pitching glove or something like that. It's my hand now. So.
Oh yeah, no, I love it. I had to change my strings before the tour because they just weren't holding their intonation, but I was so resentful that I had to do that. Like, it felt so much better and a little dead and a little muted. Now they're like all bright and shiny. I'm like, I hate new things.
What kind of strings do you use?
D'Addario Light. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are great strings right there.
Yeah. So. I mean, they lasted a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Well, thank you again.
Well, thank you.
Yep. And have a great show and have a great tour and safe travels most of all.
Well, thank you. You too. Also, have a great show on Thursday.
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com, and I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.